Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What we're facing now is a crisis that is by far the most serious we've ever faced. And the way we're going to solve it is by asking you on both sides of the aisle to do what some people have, as you know, begun to fear we don't have the capacity to do.
Al Gore may be anti-global warming man, but he is not no impact man. My first guest today is Al Gore. Flew to Washington to testify to Congress about global warming yesterday. Colin Bevin just walked up 24 flights of stairs, accompanied by your host, who's not proud or tired, to get to our studio and avoid consuming electricity in an elevator. The point is for Colin, his wife, and their two-year-old daughter to make no impact on the environment for one full year. Besides no elevators, this means things like no food grown more than 250 miles from Manhattan, no trains, planes, or automobiles. Sorry, John Candy and Steve Martin. No newspapers or magazines. And as you may have seen, much to the shock of a New York Times reporter, on the front page of the House and Home section this morning, no toilet paper or olive oil. Colin Bevin is an author and physicist doing this for his next book as well, he says, as to practice what he preaches. Maybe he'll be Al Gore's running mate. Who knows? And here we are. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Nice to be here.
So that was fun, walking up the steps, and one of the things we discovered was that it took 9 minutes only to casually stroll up from floor 1 to floor 25, but
it took us 9 minutes to stroll up the stairs, but it took more than half an hour for us to get the security to give us permission to walk up the stairs, and it was so much red tape. And one thing about walking up the stairs that I just want to say is that everybody, you know, many people respond to what we're doing as, oh, wait, no elevators. You don't take elevators. That's crazy. And what's really interesting is that when you take these kind of little actions in your life, you think that they're going to be really hard on one end. But when you actually try them, like you and I, we walk 25 right. flights of stairs, 9 minutes, no problem.
Right. And we were trying to leave about an hour and a quarter. We had no clue what it would take to walk up 25 flights of stairs. We wanted 8:40. I negotiated for 9 o'clock.
Right.
Maybe we wouldn't make it all the way, and we'd take the elevator from 15. Right. It took us 9 minutes.
Right. It was fine. It was fun. We had a nice chat.
So who are you? Tell our listeners. Who else are you?
Well, I am a husband and a father of a little two-year-old girl. I think that being the father of Isabella is my most proudest definition, but I'm also an author, and my previous two books are about history. One's about the beginning of forensic science, and the other one is about a secret operation that occurred in World War II. But
and do I have this right that you're trained in physics?
I have a PhD in electronic engineering. That was another life a long time ago.
Okay,
so
you could fix the elevator if you used it.
Well, yeah, maybe. So, but who I am with regards to this project is, kind of a liberal schlub. You know, when I was in college, I would go out on protests and really, you know, take political action. But as I've gotten older, I've contented myself more with just saying to my friends, you know, I'm mad at this politician or I'm mad at that politician. And my life hasn't reflected my political beliefs. And lately, I mean, I agree with Al Gore. I think that we're in an emergency. It's not just the environment is an emergency. The Iraq war is an emergency. And I realized that my history writing, it was beginning to feel irrelevant to me, like it wasn't important to me. And so this project, which is No Impact Man, was my effort to bring my career in line with my personal values.
The Times, though, makes it sound like it's part change the world, part gimmick for your next book. Do you cop to that?
Yeah, I totally cop to that. I'm a writer by profession, and so what I do is I'm one way to put it is that I'm a professional megalomaniac. But what I think that, the way that I think about it is this, is that, you know, I am who I am. This is what I do. But if I can take the energy of who I am as a person and point that energy in a direction that you know, I'd say this most humbly, but and point that energy in a direction that can help the world, then it's better than pointing it in another direction. So yes, I am writing a book, but I am also trying to write a book in such a way that will help. And I should say, let me just say this, the book is going to be produced probably on something called Tyvek, which is a reusable material. It's not going to be made from post-consumer paper.
Tyvek, isn't that sort of, insulating clothing that isn't as heavy as down?
I guess it's some sort of, it's that material, but it can be made into a book.
Now, for those of you who happen to have the New York Times around, take out section F, the house and home section. There's a big green-tinted picture of Colin Bevin's apartment with his wife and daughter and everything, where they are trying to live with no impact on the environment. This is a coincidence. We booked you based on your own op-ed somewhere, and we didn't know you were going to be in the Times today. But since it's there, I'll tell everybody, if you've got it and want to read along, take out the house and home section, and you can see Colin written up right on the front page with one of the biggest pictures I've ever seen in the New York Times of one of the littlest apartments I've ever seen in the New York Times. And call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and tell us for yourselves, listeners, have you reduced your impact on the environment, even if you haven't gone this far? Maybe you want to talk about what you're doing, whether you think it's tokenism, whether you think living in a contemporary world in a contemporary way, you can have some impact without going to the extremes that Colin Bevin is going to, or anything you want to ask No Impact Man about him. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Let's go down some of the rules, because everybody loves the rules.
Okay.
Let's see, where should we start? No planes, no trains, no automobiles. I said John Candy and Steve Martin wouldn't like it. But why no trains? Isn't one of the biggest pro-environment things to do in New York City to get people to use mass transit?
Absolutely. Mass transit is really important. But No Impact Man, it's not about what everybody should do. What it's about is it's an experiment in deliberate living, if you want. And so what we're doing is taking apart our life, and then at the end we'll rebuild it. And as we get rid of things, including taking the train, because the question is, if we could take the train, then we would honestly never know what it was like to ride our bikes. I ride my bike everywhere. Michelle, my wife, has a push scooter that she rides everywhere.
Where do you live?
We live on 11th Street in the Village.
How did you get here, down to Center and Chambers?
I rode my bike.
You did?
Yeah. So
what did you do in the snowstorm?
Well, then you're walking. Yeah, then you're walking. And poor Michelle, my wife, we live on 11th Street, and she works on 49th Street. So that's a long walk. She likes her scooter much better. You should see her, like, jumping off the curbs with her scooter.
I'm scared for her already. Does she wear a helmet?
No, but we should tell her to.
you were talking about the philosophy. What's behind No Impact Man?
So philosophically, the important thing is this, that I'm a liberal by nature, I don't add any value to that either way. That's just my political beliefs. But as a liberal, I kind of am always thinking about collective action, what we as a society should do, you know, the laws that should be changed. As a matter of fact, the quote that you ran by Al Gore at the beginning of the segment, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to bring both sides of the house together, and that's how we're going to change the world. Well, I think one of the things I've always been weak on as a liberal is individual action. Like, why do I have to wait for Congress to do something? Why do I have to wait for big business to do something? Why don't I do something?
In fact, your op-ed that we read that turned us on to you, in fact, I don't even know where this was published. I just have a printout of it.
It was in the Times. It was in Sunday's
Times.
Oh,
it was
Times.
In Sunday's Times? Uh-huh. So it was like a little promotion for the house and home section.
Yeah, that was a coincidence.
Sure. You quote Professor Arthur Brooks of Syracuse University from his recent book, Who Really Cares, which published data showing that, quote, for all our liberal ideology, people like me volunteer their time no more than conservatives, and we actually donate 30% less to charity. We even give less blood. I think there's a reason for that, which is that liberals think that their individual donations and their individual actions aren't really going to make a difference unless society, usually meaning government, decides in an organized way that this is going to become policy. whereas conservatives rebel against that and say, well, if I'm giving my $20, then that's what I can do.
Right. And not only that, but conservatives hate us sometimes because we're saying all of society should do this. But then they look at our lives and see that we're not doing it like we want. So we believe in coercive action. So how much stronger is it if you do want to change society, but you're also changing your life as well? So it's kind of a political gesture. But it's also like if all of us decide that we're not going to, you know, buy products that hurt the environment, big business is not going to wait for Congress to act. They're going to change what they do so that we'll buy their products again.
Colin Bevin, my guest on WNYC, a.k.a. No Impact Man, as he and his wife and two-year-old daughter try to live with no impact on the environment for the next full year. Actually, you started when?
Like we
December?
Started November 20th. Uh-huh. My wife will tell November 20th.
So, yes, at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Julie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. She's probably counting down, too.
Yes,
to the end
believe
of the
me.
Julie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi there. Colin, it's Julie from the New York City Compact Group, and I was hoping you might give a mention to the Compact.
Oh, sure, Julie. The Compact, so in No Impact Man, there's lots of people that have, I should say this, there's lots of people who are doing so much for the environment and both in their individual lives and what I'm, you know, as it happens, I can be a mouthpiece for that, but there are people that are doing so much more than me. But there's also groups that have done aspects of the project, and one aspect is that we're not buying anything new this year. We're trying to make our consumption sustainable in some way. And what happened was in 2006, a group of 10 people in San Francisco decided to do that. They made a pact, a compact, that they wouldn't consume anything new for a year. And it became a media explosion from these 10 people. And now there's groups all over the place, including, and you can go to
Julie,
Yahoo.
Julie, what's your website?
It's a Yahoo group. If you go to Yahoo group
and
look for the Compact NYC, one word.
So how many people, Julie, do you think you have out there vowing not to buy anything new this year?
The larger Compact group, the main Compact, I think has between 7,000 and 8,000 people, and that's worldwide.
And you're doing it?
I'm doing it. Our little New York group is 30 so far.
What's the hardest part for you, Julie?
Actually, it's not hard. Surprisingly, not hard at all. Now, granted, I'm a single person. I don't have a spouse or a child who I'm making do this with
mm-hmm.
me. And I have
right.
so much stuff. I just have so much stuff, so it's really not hard at all.
Okay. Julie, thanks for your call. Let's do some more of these rules. The Times writer's obsessions were no toilet paper, no balsamic vinegar, and no extra virgin olive oil.
Right.
I might have embellished that a little bit. But aren't these all good things?
Well, sure. Again, back to the philosophy of the experiment. Well, there's the toilet paper. Everybody's obsessed with the toilet paper. But as far as the toilet paper is concerned, you know, what I'm really looking at is our use of disposable products. And disposable products came in really in a strong way around 1900. Toilet paper was part of it. Kleenex was part of it. It all had to do with an obsession with hygiene that we had, which actually came from the recent discovery by Lord Lister of the germ theory of disease. And anyway, but disposable products are
products.
A big problem.
So with some trepidation, I now have to ask you about your reusable toilet paper.
No, there's no reusable toilet paper. Listen, we should mention that there's also my blog, noimpactman.com. And if you really want to talk about toilet paper, you can go there and find out exactly what we do.
No, but people want to know, how do you get around toilet paper?
We wash.
You wash.
We wash.
Okay.
And like, actually, as people keep pointing out on the website, you know, more than a huge proportion of the world does, and everybody says it's more hygienic and what. But let's talk about the olive oil and the balsamic vinegar. In terms of food, what we're trying to do is eat food that's produced and all its ingredients come from within 250 miles. 250 miles might sound arbitrary, but there's an organization in the city called Just Food, and their job is to get farmers to bring their fresh produce into the city, and they'll work with farmers up to 250 miles a day because those farmers can drive in, sell their produce, and drive home in one day. And the reason for eating, there are a million reasons for eating local, but one is to reduce the carbon footprint of that food being transported. As a matter of fact, I calculated that an apple, if you were to, you know, they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, an apple a day from New Zealand would cause 500 pounds of carbon to be released into the atmosphere through the flying. So that's one reason to eat local, but there's a lot of other reasons,
and
too.
And you're baking your own bread, and I gather there is locally grown wheat that you use. They grow wheat around here?
My wheat is grown in New Jersey by the Blue Farm. And, yeah, so, but it's funny because, of course, you can get bread that's baked in New York City, no problem, and I can get this wheat that's produced nearby, but I can't get, okay, I hear this, all bakers, could somebody please bake bread with local flour? It would make my life a lot easier because I am baking my own bread. But, you know, that's one thing that I want to mention is that one thing about this project is that I wasn't expecting is how empowered I feel, because I don't know about everybody else, but you kind of get this idea that you're like a node at the end of the conduit from the system, and that you, like in the Matrix or something, and that you totally rely on the system, and if you know, you can't survive without it. But you know, when you get around on foot or by bicycle, or you bake your own, whatever it is, I mean, I'm not, you can tell them I'm not a Birkenstock wearing crunchy person, but it's cool.
Yes, we noticed your spade bag.
Right. So,
do you have a lot of remnants, by the way, like this Jack Spade bag of you know, of your luxurious past?
Yeah. Well, actually, my wife Michelle, you know, she's like an incredibly stylish person, and before we went off, she went on a definite shopping binge that we couldn't afford. I guess her logic was that she was doing a year shopping in a week. Well, she didn't really do a year shopping, but she did have a little one weekend shopping binge. So those are good remnants, but
Really big Fresh Direct order.
Yeah, that's right.
Before you go.
That's right.
Yeah, you were going to say some other so good remnants?
Other
remnants?
You know, I don't know why, but my socks always get lost in the laundry, and so it seems like the only socks I have left are the ones with holes in them.
And you vowed to buy nothing new.
Well, the compact, which Julie mentioned before, has certain exceptions for personal products, but so I can buy underwear and I can buy socks, but I'm adding to that if I do buy underwear and socks, they have to be organic cotton. It's like a big
job. You're
going
to have to locate
where do you find it?
The locally farmed sheep and learn to knit. We'll continue in a minute with No Impact Man, who you can read about at his blog, noimpactman.org or com?
.com.
All right. And so when we come back, I'm going to ask you what you think of Al Gore flying around all over the place to promote using less carbon. I'm going to ask about you even blogging this while you won't read a newspaper or a magazine, or I presume listen to the radio. And we'll take more calls from people on how you have at least less of an impact on the environment. 212-433-WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue with Colin Bevin, a.k.a. No Impact Man, trying to live for one full year along with his wife and their two-year-old daughter, not having any impact on the environment at all. And maybe this is a good time to mention that tomorrow we're going to air a special debate on whether global warming is a crisis that I moderated last week, and that's going to be part of the Intelligence Squared debate series that WNYC and NPR have been airing around the country. That's going to be at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on AM 820 WNYC, a debate with six people, including Michael Crichton and others, on the question, is global warming a crisis? But we continue with No Impact Man here, and let's see. All right, I'm going to read you an email that came in that says, the example of living with no impact, or really as little impact as possible, might be enlightening, but I'm concerned that the all-or-nothing character of the exercise could lead people to dismiss the idea for themselves. More important is to make people see that it's easy and painless and vital to reduce one's impact.
Right, and that's that would be a terrific problem if I was promoting the idea that everybody should do what I'm doing, which I'm not. It's a life experiment, and it's a year-long experiment where we climb into this project and see what it's like. And when we come apart, the end of the experiment will be when we re-enter our lives and we decide, you know, what are we going to keep from the year? What aren't we going to keep from the year? But by doing it this way, we'll have tried everything. And the important thing is not, you know, this is not in general for people, it's not all or nothing. Each of us can, you know, there's simple things each of us can do that are great. You don't have to do what I'm doing, like use compact fluorescent bulbs or inflate your car tires correctly because that makes that difference in how much carbon you emit, or turn your thermostat down. Every single step is good and important.
Jennifer in Astoria does something. Hi, Jennifer. What do you do? Oh, Jennifer's listening on the radio. Jennifer 3, Jennifer 2, Jennifer 1. Sorry, Jennifer. Kelly in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Is it Kathy?
Kathy. My apology.
Hi. I have been trying to not use plastic bags, you know, that are always dispensed at any market you go to, or reuse them, not perfectly, but trying. And I haven't heard of anyone else doing this. What do you think? Do you think it's a good idea? And if you do so, do think it's a good idea, you know, how to get the idea to others? Because I can see the earth just coated in plastic bags or put out in such enormous volume.
Well, the earth is kind of coated in plastic bags. They say that 1% of plastic bags never make it to the landfill, which means that they enter the environment, either our land or our waterways, our rivers, our oceans. Really, thank you so much for bringing it up, because this is another one of, like, you know, the previous caller said, well, no impact man is too extreme, but each of us can just get a canvas bag and reuse it instead of using plastic bags. And there's a picture that I found on the web that I put on my website of a turtle with the end of a plastic bag sticking out its mouth. And the reason why I put that there is because a study was done in the late 80s of leatherback turtles that had died off New York's coast. And something like 10 out of the 11 dead turtles were found had plastic bags in their impacted in their digestive tract. And that's because the plastic bags get washed through our sewers and into the ocean.
Let me play a clip from the Senate hearing yesterday where Al Gore testified. Do we have this? Where Senator James Inhofe challenges Gore for not being no impact man.
My perspective has been that some of the statements that you have made have inaccuracies and have been misleading. And a lot of the peer-reviewed scientists who've written in Nature magazine, geophysical research letters, science are radically at odds with your claims. Now, this is a good one here. This scares everybody. You said that the East Antarctica might melt, and this could raise sea levels by 20 feet, so we're all going to die. However, according to many scientists, the Antarctica is gaining ice mass, not losing it. Senator Gore,
if I could just
well, you can't.
If you could allow, you've asked the senator an important question. He's answering it. Give
all
him
right.
A minute
if
or so
to stop the clock
answer.
During this time.
No, I'm not going to stop the clock. He has a minute to answer. How can you ask a question and not give a man a minute to answer?
At the end, you can have as much time as you want to answer
all the
questions.
No, that isn't the rule. You're not making the rules. You used to when you did this. You don't do this anymore. Elections have consequences.
So I don't know if Gore ever got to defend his lifestyle, but there was that go-around between Senator Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, and Senator Barbara Boxer from California. Gore started to mention a few things that he's doing, like trying to get rezoning around his house so he can use solar panels and things like that. But he flies everywhere. He lives in this big house. Do you have an issue with that?
Well, let me actually, if you don't mind me going back, first of all, the argument about the science.
Sure.
You know, Inhofe was saying, like, well, they say that there's ice building up in Antarctica and blah. Science is great, and you know, I'm a scientist by training, but it also has the possibility of just confusing us. Well, I have this study that says this, but I have this opposite study that says that. And then what happens is that we all argue about which study is correct, and we never do anything. So one of the things about No Impact Man is that I'm going with my gut. So we can look at the world. We can see that there are problems in the world. There's no need to argue about the science. That's one thing. That as far as Gore's lifestyle, another philosophy that is at the root of my project is this is about my own conduct. Like, so when people like Inhofe would ask Gore about his conduct, then my answer is, well, what about your conduct? You know,
But he doesn't think it's a problem.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but he should think it's a problem because it is a problem. But, there I go. I'm totally trying not to, I don't want to judge other people. What I want this project to be about is me looking at my
your
life.
Values.
Right.
Naomi in Bedminster, you're on WNYC. Hi, Naomi.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a short comment to make. I read sometimes in the Time magazine that United States with a population of 100 million produces about three times as much garbage as India with a population of a billion. And I've traveled extensively in the third world, and I was always amazed at how little people consume. They go to the market and they buy vegetables, and they don't even package it. And here you go and buy like a fillet of tilapia, and it takes you 5 minutes to unwrap it. So we produce so much garbage, and our impact on the environment is so horrible that people in Bangladesh and the poor countries are going to suffer when the sea levels rise and they flood their lands. And I think everybody has to take responsibility and do small steps, reusing plastic bags. It's just amazing how many plastic bags we got when we go to ShopRite. So just use a canvas and simple things that we can do. Use tap water, filter it, and just drink tap water rather than keep buying all the bottles.
Naomi, thank you very much. How much garbage do you produce in your home?
Now, well, before we took an inventory before we started, and I think this is embarrassingly bad. We produced something like 90 gallons of trash in 4 days, and then I stopped counting because I was getting too depressed. Now, there is some unavoidable trash. For example, we use, we buy our milk in reusable bottles, but the caps are plastic. So there's some, I would say on an estimate, we produce about a quart of trash a week, maybe 2 quarts of trash a week.
Now, you have, no television anymore. You had a 46-inch plasma flat screen?
No, it wasn't plasma. It was one of those rear projection ones, you know.
Right.
At the time we got it, we couldn't afford that.
But the key to that was not really plasma or LCD.
No,
or
it's big.
46 inch.
I know. And this is one of the things that... So the thing is that we weren't like these greenies. We were liberal people, but not greenies that decided to do this project. We ordered takeout every... We were a really busy New York couple. We still are a really busy New York couple. In many ways, typical. And so we had this 46-inch TV, which was great fun at the time, but... and my wife definitely had withdrawal symptoms from reality shows. But...
You're
one of the
now living a reality show. Yeah. And probably after 6 months of this, one or the other of you will vote the other one off the island.
No kidding. That's right. And
but no television, I get. Why no newspapers and magazines?
Well, no newspapers and magazines unless we found them. We can be found scavenging through the recycling piles in our building just because of the paper.
And
books are secondhand. We buy secondhand books.
But you're blogging this experience, right?
Right. So, and somebody went to my blog, and they're like, "Well, you're writing a book, you're making a movie, and all this kind of stuff." And that's true. But
you can't blog with no impact.
You can't. No, I don't think so. Although somebody on my website did say they were going to get me a carbon-free computer, and I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how they're going to do it, but these things are true. Each of us, what we talked about before, like Al Gore flies around. Okay, he gets a pass, you know. I'm causing people to look at their computers. Each of us has to do what we can.
How about listening to the radio, in or out?
I love the radio. I listen to it on my computer. The computer, you know, the electricity in my house is still on because the project works in stages. And the electricity is coming, in about 6 weeks where we turn the electricity out. So, I can't not listen to the radio. But at that stage, what I'm going to do is if I can find myself a nice used hand crank radio, you know, these ones that generate their own power.
Then you can stay.
Then I can stay.
For another few minutes with No Impact Man, a.k.a. Colin Bevan. Maybe you saw him written up on the front page of the House and Home section in the New York Times today as we talk about his one-year experiment not to have any impact on the environment. Marie in Croton-on-Hudson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I'm just calling with a few comments to let you know that Al Gore has had a terrific effect on our handling of our environment issues. My husband wanted to buy a Prius about a year or two before we went to see An Inconvenient Truth. And when we came out of seeing the movie while we were still in the theater, I said to him, okay, I give up. I don't want the big fancy car anymore. Let's get a Prius. And we have done that, and we find that it's a wonderful car and very, very good at saving gasoline. We've gotten up to about 60 miles a gallon on it on the highway and so forth.
And it was seeing the movie at Inconvenient Truth?
Did it. It did it. It just made us do that. That's one thing. And another thing we've had is...
So this is an offset to Al Gore's next airplane flight.
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping other people will buy the Prius because it does save a lot on gasoline. And another thing is that we've had a home audit also since then by a New York Certified Energy Audit Organization. And man came in and made suggestions, did a whole audit of the home with vacuuming out all of the air out of the house and seeing where the air pockets were that let in cold air and so forth. We ended up, because of his suggestions, insulating our roof and our basement with spray foam.
Right, and anybody can do that, get a home audit and figure out what your actual impact is. So I'm glad you brought that up. Marie, thank you very much. We're almost out of time. You know, we're getting so much email. Here's one. I can just read you subject lines in this case. One says, go no impact, man. The other one says... oh, please. Should I read you oh, please?
Sure.
Let's see. Where's oh, please?
I prefer Go No Impact Man.
I'll read that one, too. Oh, please says, this guy lives on 5th Avenue and 11th Street. Everything he needs is within walking distance. He can crawl. And, gee, his wife writes for Business Week. Please give up the Business Week paycheck and then talk to us.
Okay. Well, I mean, my answer is I'm doing my best, and the most important thing is that you do your best.
And Go No Impact Man. Oh, this is from the people who run Stony Creek Farm. They say, 2 years ago, we moved to a 90-acre piece of land in upstate New York and started a farm to grow pasture-raised animals for meat and eggs. I've been building an off-grid home during that time that comprises a 900-square-foot space to house Kate and me and our two children, 2.5 and 4 months old. So far, so good, though we are struggling financially. Thanks for reading my free associative spill, and maybe you can plug our farm. So that's Stony Creek Farm.
Hey, Brian.
Org. We bought from there.
Just while we have a little bit of time left, can I just mention that on April 14th is World Climate Action Day, and here in New York City, there are going to be hopefully 5,000 people gathering in Battery Park and lining up on the two sides of Manhattan where they predict that the high water mark could potentially be. And so if people care about this and climate change in the environment and they want to turn out on April the 14th, it starts at Battery Park at 12 noon, and you can go to seeofpeople.org.
Last thing, the Times article drew the parallel between you and Thoreau. He went out to the woods to live the pure life. You're doing it in Manhattan. Do you think urbanism is the new environmentalism, or is this where you just happen to live?
It's both. It just happens to be where we live. But, you know, the idea that we could live environmentally by all returning to the land, 16 million of us, that would have an impact. But not only that, but more than half of us in this world live in cities now. So it's the city slickers rather than the country bumpkins. Well, both of us, but we can't leave it to the country bumpkins. We city slickers have to do something. And also because, especially in New York, we set the consumption patterns for the world. So what we do here is what everybody looks towards. So it's really important that New York makes the proper changes.
Colin Bevan, a.k.a. No Impact Man. You can see his website at noimpactman.com, or we've placed a link to it right on our webpage. You can go to wnyc.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, thanks for coming in. This has been really fun.
Thank you.
And now we're going to call up building security so you can get special clearance to walk down the stairs to get out of the building, since the rule is usually that everybody has to take the elevator.
Right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, some politics with New York One's Bob Hart. There's some interesting stuff going on today. There's some mystery as to whether John Edwards might actually drop out of the race because of his wife's health. We don't know the answer to that yet. And there's this whole thing about the Hillary 1984 spot that got an Obama staffer fired. We'll talk about that. Stay tuned.